when Brad got up here and was honest, that he's not the only one here today. That there are others that have felt the same way when they came in today, that it's been a bit difficult. They haven't felt the Lord's presence. Before I begin, I just want to pray and just and to continue with what Brad has already done. Father, we just thank you, Father. You know, you draw. And you have drawn the ones here today that you wanted to be here. But you know what they've come out of. You know what their week has been like. And Lord, for some, it has been a sacrifice to come here. But Lord, we want to have ears to hear what you are wanting to say today. For what you want to do today. So we just invite you to come in, Lord. We invite your presence. There's people here that may not have been walking with the Lord for very long, and they don't really know what we're talking about. Father, I just pray that you're just going to walk into the room. You're going to come into the room, and that you're going to walk up and down these seats. And Lord, those that are tired and weary, those that have been going through difficult circumstances, Lord, that you're going to let them know your presence today. Father, I thank you that your presence, Lord, we just give you permission to come and to invade lives today. Just come in, God. Come in, Lord. We want to sit in your presence, and we thank you and we praise you, Lord, in advance for what you are going to do today. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, recently, I have been through one of those times myself. It's been a time that we all must go through. And I've learned that when you're going through that, it's because God's got something for you that you're about to go through into a new season. So recently I've been doing a lot of soul searching and asking myself questions so that I know where I am with God. And I've been saying, Lord, show me your dream for my life. Show me what your big dream is for my life, God. Lord, and I've been asking him, and I've been asking him for some more excitement and adventure in my life. I don't know if anybody can identify with that. I've been honestly saying, do I love my life right now? Do I really love where I am at right now? Or do I admit there are areas of my life where there's some dissatisfaction? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but when I pray these things and say, Lord, what is your dream for my life? And show me, God, what it is that is holding back. What am I afraid of? What's stopping me from going after it? If you can answer these questions and ask yourself similar ones, I believe that they have awesome power to act like a catalyst for you to experience great change, major changes in your life. But unless you do that, if you just go on every day the same old way, feeling dissatisfied, feeling empty, feeling like, why do I go to church? What's there for me? Why do I keep doing this? Look, this is a wake-up call. I just feel God's got a word today to challenge us all. And when I went through that soul-searching time and asking myself those questions, this message came out of that time. So it's for me, and there's something here. I know there is something here for every single person today. A few days ago, I woke up from a dream. Most of my dreams are usually quite long, but this one was just over in a second or two. And it was a very, very bold dream. In the dream, I was there was a sign. A massive sign, a huge sign on the side of the road. It was a white sign, and it had these great big words written on it. And those words were, "Don't be a nobody." And I thought, whoa. And then I woke up. And I thought, well, clearly, that was the Lord speaking. This is a word from the Lord. He doesn't want me to be a nobody, and he never intended for any of you to be a nobody. So I know that I'm speaking to areas of your life. I know I'm speaking this word to people today. Don't be a nobody. I couldn't miss it. It's clear what God is saying there. He'd never created any of us to be a nobody, did he? Do you believe that? He doesn't want any of us to be a nobody. What's a nobody? A nobody is somebody that doesn't stand for anything. They're just wishy-washy. They're a nobody. They have no passion. They have no goals. They're just going through the motions. And they're like a nobody. So when God is speaking that word so clearly, and I believe it's a command that he's saying to you today, don't be a nobody. He's saying it does not matter where you came from. It does not matter the circumstances surrounding your birth and your upbringing. It doesn't matter what mistakes you've made. It doesn't matter. The main thing is, he's saying, you were never created to be a nobody. Hallelujah. So if you could just walk away with that today and meditate on that. So then a couple of days after I got that, it was very interesting. I went to somebody's home, a relative, and I heard two stories that day. And the mother and the daughter had both recently been to school reunions. One was about 25 years, like they were getting together after 25 years. And she said that she was absolutely shocked when she went to that reunion. And she was shocked for this reason, that she had nothing in common with any person there and she had to leave early. She tried to make conversation with people, as you do, like from, people that you went to school with. You might ask questions like, well, what are you doing with yourself now, you know? She was expecting to hear something exciting, but she was so, so shocked that not even one of them had done anything with their lives. Not one of them had amounted to anything. And then the mother, she had recently had a high school reunion, and that was 50 years. And she said almost the same thing. I couldn't believe it. I just looked at them. They were like little old ladies. Grey hair, little old ladies. And you would try and have a conversation with them about what have you been doing. Well, I guess they got married and have children. But that was their idea. That was it. They had nothing else to offer. They'd never left the town that they went to high school in. It's really sad, isn't it? That won't be the case all the time. And I wondered, Lord, is that because it was a country town? I'm not sure. Maybe they didn't have the opportunities there. But I thought that's really quite sad. And I just think, what a waste of a life. These are lives that are precious to God. Every life is so precious to God. And he has put within every single person a dream. Hallelujah. Every single person has a dream inside of them. It's not a dream that they've picked up from other people. Sometimes we can follow along with somebody else's dream, and that's okay to a point. But do you know, you are never going to know real joy. You are never going to be able to say, I love my life, until you are pursuing your God-given dream, the very thing that He created you for. You can follow these other dreams. You can follow dreams of wealth. You can follow all kinds of dreams. But I'm not talking about those dreams. I want to talk today about the dreams that God gives us. So this is where I'm going. So maybe it's an area that you've not really thought about a lot. So the God gives you a dream to give you an identity, so that you know why you're here. Isn't that the question most asked? What am I here for? Why did God make me? What is my purpose? That's another way of saying, what is my dream? What am I meant to be doing in the years that He's given me? You know, sometimes He gives you a dream so that you can stand out from the crowd. You know, I go to India, and it's very crowded there, and I go to Japan. If you've ever been into the subway in Japan, it's very, very crowded. And there are literally thousands of people with black hair, you know, all these Japanese people, thousands of them milling around under the earth. You know, if you were up the top, you would have no idea that there were thousands of people in this other world happening underneath. Now, you know, when I go on the trains in Japan and I see these thousands of people walking in all these different directions, do you know it's overwhelming? Do you know that feeling like when you're at an event or in a crowd and you just kind of feel really small and insignificant and even a nobody? But you know what? When God looks at a crowd, He sees something completely different, doesn't He? So if He were looking at this here today, He would be looking and saying, yes, I know who you are, and I know who you are, and I know what you're going to be, and I know the dreams I've placed within each one of you. I know you. And you are meant to rise up in that and shine in that. You are not meant to feel like you're a nobody. Even in churches, anywhere you go, you are not meant to. It's like when I go to places like Japan, I sort of say, who am I? Do you know that song? Who am I that you are mindful of me? Who am I, God? I just feel so tiny. Who am I that you are mindful of me? Well, He is mindful of you because He has a plan and a purpose for your life. He has a dream that He means for you to fulfill. So when I travel, I see it a lot. Why do I see it a lot when I travel? Because I'm moving out of my comfort zone. Where I live and where I'm comfortable, I don't get that sense of being overwhelmed. But the moment you step out of that zone into a different place, it's, whoa, it's quite overwhelming. But God sees the individual. You know, some people do crazy things just so that they'll be noticed. Because everybody has this inner something that is driving them to be noticed, to stand out, to be a somebody. But a lot of people, and especially see this with teenagers, they will do a lot of negative stuff to get that attention. They might get on drugs or be a bad boy, or like we heard recently about somebody who went and graffitied the town. They left their little tag on every building and every wall in town. And then when they became a Christian, the pastor said, well, why did you do that? I did that because I wanted some identity. I just didn't want to be lost and a nobody in the crowd. So God's saying today, don't be a nobody. You are not intended to be a nobody. So let's see what else He has to say. The point is that everyone is looking for what is will make them feel special. But some people don't know what that is yet. But when I look around here, I see a room full of somebodies. I'm going to tell you that. I don't care what you think of yourself. It's about what God thinks of you. And I'm looking through his eyes. And there is a room full. This room is actually a treasure. This room is rich with treasure. Do you believe that? Because in this room, there are dreams waiting to be released that can touch hundreds, thousands, and perhaps even millions. Whoa! Millions of lives. So church should be the place, more than any other place, where Christians gather together, where we begin to see, wow, this is so rich. There's such treasure here, and these people don't even know it yet. These people that God's drawn here today, some of them might think they've had a really, really hard life. I don't really see myself as a treasure. There are things, dreams, waiting to burst forth in this place. Just waiting to burst forth. Creative ideas, inventions, all kinds of things. So I'm going to do a little bit of stirring up today. Is that okay? But, you know, for many people, they might say, that's not my experience. I have totally lost touch and have no idea what my dream is. And you know why that happens? It's because as we grow up, so much junk is piled into us. If you ever had a dream and you shared it with somebody, maybe you didn't get a good reception. And people made fun of you and mocked you because of that. So many times we can we make wrong decisions. And we're walking along here and we make a wrong decision and off we're going here, whether it's a job or moving to a new house. You know, whatever it is, sometimes we do these things because we're actually looking for excitement. We're looking for adventure. So we go off without seeking God. And so they try to fill it. They feel like they have lost touch with their dreams. So many people, they don't know where they're going. It says, the Bible says, without a vision, you perish. Without a dream, you're going to perish. You're just going to wander. You're just like those people in the high school reunions. Nothing's changed. They hadn't probably even left town, hadn't tried new things. And so they move further and further away from that dream that they might have had as a child. And now it's just like a far distant memory. You know, people that can be very cruel. If you shared that, people might have said very hurtful things to you and tried to kill your dream. But I want to tell you that nobody can kill your dream. Do you know that? People may try to kill it and stop you from pursuing your dream, but nobody can kill. Nobody can take your dream away from you that God gave you in the first place. He's the dream giver. He's the one that put it in there. So he is definitely not going to take it away. So if you've lost connection with that dream, you don't look, it's something else has happened. Something's come in on top of your life, crowded out that dream, squashed it out of you. So the power and the energy and tools that you're going to need to fulfill your dream come from being connected to God. if you abide in me and my words. I am the vine and you are the branches. So if you come and you come into him, as we were, Sharon was sharing today, we come into him, we commune with him, and in that place of stillness, in that secret place, God will stir up some of those things for you again. So where are we going now? It's time to wake up and dream again, people. It's time to wake up and dream again. Now, when I talk about dreams, I want you to understand that there's two types of dreams. There's night dreams and there's daydreams. I can remember when I was growing up, I often got accused of being a daydreamer. They'd say, oh, you're just off with the fairies, you know. But I actually am a daydreamer. I dream night dreams and daydreams. I just love sitting with a drink on my deck and just daydreaming. That's when I get a lot of most of my insights. You know, it's just amazing. But they often work together. Because if God gives you a dream in your heart, he will very often give you dreams in the night that are going to confirm the thing that he's put in your heart. Or he'll give you a dream in the night of something he wants you to do or a place he wants you to go. And then the dream, it will start stirring up and you'll start daydreaming about that. Do you understand what I mean? So they do work together. They'll come to confirm and to guide you into God's destiny for your life. Listen to this word God gave me about last week when I was in one of my moments with the Lord and just sitting in his presence, and I was writing out this word, and he said this: it's not just for me, it's for you. Keep dreaming, my child. There is a freedom that comes as you dream. You go beyond time and place. Dreaming with me is one of the most liberating things that you will ever experience. A place where anything is possible because all the barriers and restrictions are removed. Children live freely in this place. Now, isn't that the truth? Children, they just have the most incredible imaginations, and when they're little, they dream about what they're going to be when they grow up. May not always work out that way, but they are free to dream. And then something happens as they grow up. People just sort of tell them, you know, you've got to grow up now. That's childish. Don't do that. But we've got to connect with the child within us. I believe this is what the Lord's wanting us to do. So when they grow up, their dreams will often get squashed out of them. But we've got to come back into that place like a child. It is, the Lord said, it's a place of freedom. Where you are free. He said it goes beyond time and place. You can be here and dreaming about something in another country. It's just unending. There's no such thing, no limits of time. Oh, thanks, Jen. So we've got to get back there, and why we've got to get back to be like little children is to discover our dream, to find our dream again. Okay? So I feel there's a lot of people here today that I'm talking to that have had a big dream a long time ago, and it's just not happening yet. And so hopefully you will pick up some clues here today. You know, the Bible talks about Joseph as a dreamer. And he's awesome, isn't he, Joseph? Do you know, he started dreaming when he was a young boy. And his dreams were that he was going to be a great, really important and great leader. But his dreams caused others to mock him, to throw him down a pit. But in spite of being thrown down a pit, in spite of being sold into slavery, in spite of being thrust into prison with a lie, he still held on to his dream. He still held on to his dream. If you hold on to your dream, it will promote you. It has a life of its own. Dreams have a life of their own to get you to where you're meant to be. But you've got to hold on to them. So you've got to know what your dream is. You need to write it down and look at it and think about it and daydream about it and ask God for confirmation and details about it. Your dream has this life within it that is going to promote you to the very place. Like with Joseph, he had a dream about being a leader, but he had no idea that it was going to be this circuitous path, this twisted way of all of these trials and things. And that's what happens to us. God may have given you a dream and you're going through a lot of trials, and you mistakenly think, oh, well, that can't be God. It's not happening. Look what's happening to me now. But you need to look at the people in the Bible. You know, look at Moses. He was given a big dream of setting God's over a million people, setting them free. And his first reaction was, I can't do this. I can't speak. I can't do anything. And God said, what do you have in your hand? I had a dream, a big dream, when I was about 16. I was given a dream. God placed in my heart a dream about India. And we were living in Adelaide at the time. And it left a very big impression on me. And I'd never been out of Adelaide, never been anywhere. We were a very sheltered family and a fairly big family. And so we couldn't afford to go anywhere anyway. So here I am in this family in Adelaide. And and God gives me a dream about going to India. Well, it was so strong and I knew it had to be God. But you know what? I wasn't going to church at the time. I believed in God, but I didn't really know much about church or anything because my parents weren't Christians. But that doesn't matter, does it? So anyway, because of that, and then I got married, and then I had a stack of kids, and then I'm home with all that entails, you know, looking after kids, and oh my goodness, and for years and years, and this dream's fading. It's still, I know it's still there, and I sometimes think about, you know, India. Am I going to India one day? And then when I became a Christian, God stirred it all up again. So some of you are going to get stirred up afresh today. So he stirred up that dream. But, you know, it wasn't until decades, hear me now, decades later that I actually started to walk out that dream. Now, that's pretty sad, isn't it? But I had nobody to help me. Nobody to counsel me. But I want to say to you today, I would not recommend that you wait decades. Please. If God has given you a dream, start moving towards it. Your dreams will never die. That dream never died. And now I've been going for 9 years and all I can say is, wow. From that very early teenage dream to what God is doing and how he's using me there, it's just beyond anything that I ever could comprehend. And it's just getting bigger and it's just getting bigger and bigger, and it's awesome. But you have to know your dream and then start to walk towards it, and he'll open the doors in front of you. I remember the Lord saying, a number of years ago, he said to me one day, he said, your dreams are way too small. And I think that's the case with a lot of people. Their dreams are too small. You see, we've got a big God. He's ginormous, isn't he? And he doesn't hand out little dreams. He's a God of big, big dreams. And so we're looking for a God-sized dream. And how do you know when you've got a God-sized dream? You know, you're not going to be able to do it until you go, help! You have to cry out, help! How am I going to do this? I mean, when I was a girl in Adelaide, I had no idea how I was going to go to India. So that was the first nation, and now he's sort of showing me different nations, but it's progressive. But you will feel fear, let me tell you that. But like Joshua, when he had to go into the promised land, what did he say to him? Fear not. Because they'd said there's giants in the land. You could go, giants, whoa. And he must have been terrified. But God says, fear not. And he says the same things to every one of us. So if God's given you a big dream, you have to trust that he knows what he's doing. And he gave it to you because he's already given you the tools to do it. He's not going to ask you to do something that you can't do. You may think you can't do it at the moment, but it's only as you start moving towards it that you'll suddenly find those gifts and ideas and, oh, wow, I can do this, I can do this. This is cool. And you start to get your joy and your fulfillment. It's great. We're going to be dreamers after today, right? Everybody, I want to hear people come up to me and say, something happened to me today and I'm dreaming. God's given me a dream and he's resurrected a dream I thought was gone. And we're going to work towards, this is my desire. One of the things God's put in me is a love to see the potential in people. And I just want to see everybody be everything that God called them to be, to fulfill their dream, the vision that God's given them, and not to be a nobody. Please, you're going to go out of here today. I am not a nobody. I am not going to be a nobody. Maybe God has given you a dream that you are going to write songs that are going to touch thousands of lives. Maybe there's somebody here God's been talking to you about writing a book. Maybe there's somebody here and you've always had a desire to own a motorhome and travel around in a motorhome. Look, there's just so many different things. Maybe you feel that you would like to start an orphanage in some country or work with children. Look, I'm not going to put the ideas in your head, but I'm just saying that your dream is between you and the Lord. I don't know what your dreams are. Only you and God know what your dreams are. And if you don't know, you have to go to him to find out. Because you and he are the only ones that need to come together to get this thing happening, to get your dream working. Any dream that God gives you, this is something to think about, any dream that he's going to give you is going to be to pour into people's lives. If it's for selfish reasons, it won't be a dream for God. The dreams he will give you will be because he loves people and he wants you to pour into their lives, or he wants you to pour truth into people's lives. He wants you to set people free. These are the dreams that you should be looking for. And how do you know? How do you know if it's a God dream? Well, let me tell you that when God gives you a dream, he never lets you go. He's constantly whispering to you. He's constantly drawing you. He's constantly nudging you, saying, what about this? What about this? So they will be thoughts that keep popping up in your mind. You can't let them go. They keep popping up. You know, this place you've got to go to, this thing you've got to do. It's there. It's constantly there. If that's you and those things are happening, God is talking to you. But see, the enemy will as well, and he'll say, oh, how can you possibly do that? You don't have enough money to do that. You're not smart enough. You can't talk. You can't speak. You can't this, you can't that. It's like all the great prophets, all the great people in the Bible, they all came empty and all with flaws. And the Lord knows all this. He knows all of our flaws. He's not waiting for us to be all fixed up so that we can then fulfill our dream. Do you understand? So if they keep popping up, you need to pay attention. They will keep popping up. They will keep bugging you until you write them that thought down and start to pay attention to it. So after you've worked out what your dream is, this is your next. The next step is that you've got to start moving towards it. But the signs that it's time to move forward. Here are some of the ones that I've experienced. Okay, these are signs that God is wanting to take you from here to here to change, to transition, and to start moving into your dream. And one of the biggies is boredom. You'll just say things like, I'm so bored. Well, if you don't say that, that's fine. You might say some of these other things. But that boredom will be a signal to you that God's wanting you to connect and find out what your dream is. When my children were growing up, you might know this, you know, you'd have them on school holidays and they didn't have any, and they go, I'm so bored, there's nothing to do. Gee, I wished I knew then what I know now, because instead of trying to find them something to do, I should have been talking to them and saying, what would you like to do? What would give you joy right now? What would make you happy? What would make you fulfilled? So we can be bored. So when you are bored and you're saying, I'm bored, thinking it or saying it, and I do, I have, and I have recently. I have in the last 6 months. So I know now that God's wanting me to move on. He's saying there's more. Because I'm bored. I'm looking for some adventure. I mean, every time my phone rings, I go, yes, I'm waiting for good news. I'm excited. I'm waiting for something exciting. Do you know what I'm talking about? Has anybody experienced that? There's something in here that's longing to hear excitement and something good's going to happen because then, you know? So I'm bored. When you're bored, everything's monotonous and you actually feel like you're in a rut. You know what a rut is? When you go on a country road, nice dirt country road, and you see these really deep grooves where the cars just go backwards and forwards and they just etch out these deep, deep ruts. So once you're in a car and you're on one of those roads and you're stuck in the rut, it's not real easy to get out of a rut, is it? But we've got to break the pattern of ruts in our lives. I said to the Lord recently, you know, when I was preparing this and he was showing me, I said, Lord, can you show me if I've got any ruts in my life? Well, he probably could have showed me heaps, but he's so gracious, he only showed me one. And he said, I said, Lord, can you show me what rut am I in that needs to be changed? And he just said, you've been shopping at the same shopping centre for 30 years. And I thought, wow, that's true. So that's really important. So ask the Lord, Lord, what ruts am I in? Because we've got to break this mold, this pattern of boredom and ruts in our lives, because, you know, this could be your training. How can you go to a nation if you can't even move out of the going backwards and forwards to Coles supermarket a couple of times a week for 30 years? So I'm changing my habits, so I'm going to Woolworths and Aldi and but you know, you'll be surprised. Ask him the question, he might show you something completely different. It's hilarious, isn't it? We don't know the ruts that we live in. Monotonous, boring, mundane ruts. Look, it could be a job. I don't know what it is, but the Lord will show you that you just do things because you've always done them that way. And how can God change us? It's like a training. How can he change us and say, move out of this comfort zone and go there? You say, oh, but God, how can I do that? Hallelujah. So I didn't expect that. The thing is, and this is truth, if you keep doing things the same way and expect different results, it's not going to happen, is it? And change, I know change is difficult, but I'm praying that after you heard this, that you are going to be moved by God to look at your life and make some changes, some very needed changes. Because this mold's got to be broken. Because if you're going to pursue your big dream, all the little things that come every day, you've got to let the Lord show you where he's not in it, where you're just doing the ordinary, you're just doing the mundane. Now, some things you've got to do every day. You've got to get up and brush your teeth. You know, some things, make your bed. Some things you've got to do every day. But I'm talking about life things, things that matter for your destiny. Brushing your teeth doesn't matter for your destiny. It's the decisions that you are going to make each and every day. How can I change? And another one, you may be experiencing disappointment. Do you know what disappointment means? Dis means an absence or removal of. So disappointment means you have missed your appointment. So if you're disappointed, you need to be thinking about what you're disappointed about. I can remember a couple of years ago, the Lord put it on my heart that I was going to these revival meetings in Indonesia, and I was so, so excited. And it was a brand new country, and I was just thinking, oh, I don't know if I want to go with all those Muslims there, God, you know. You make excuses, and I didn't know anybody, and Muslims, and yeah. So in the end, I kind of talked myself out of it. And then when the dates came, I had the heaviest, the most horrible feeling in the pit of my stomach. And I knew I had missed an appointment of God. I was disappointed. And it leaves a terrible feeling. So when you're disappointed about something, connect back with God and find out what it is that you missed and how you can make up for it. Another thing that you might experience is this. See, because dreams are meant to propel you into your future, right? If you don't know what your dream is and it's not propelling you into your future, guess what you do? You go back to your past. Because we're all looking for meaning in our lives. And where is there meaning? When I was in high school, when I was at university, when I did this, when I did that. So you try to reconnect with people from your past. Now, there's not always a problem with that. You need to seek God about that. But if you are looking back and harking back, that's like a pull. It's because you're trying to find some meaning, some fulfillment for my life. And, oh, I had such a good time when I knew those people. So you go back there. And what does the Bible say? It says, forget the former things. Consider not the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Hallelujah. And in Philippians 3:13, it says, forget what lies behind and reach forward. We've got to be reaching a people who are going to be reaching forward. Amen? Not looking back. And I mean, I'm guilty of this because sometimes I get, I'm longing for advent. I'm longing for excitement. And I look back to revivals that I've been in the last 30 years where God's done amazing things. And I'm looking back to past revivals. And then you talk about what God did there and wasn't it fantastic? We all got drunk and we were all on the floor and how amazing it was. But you know what? You have to leave it behind because God is doing a new thing and we have to move forward and bring. We have to be revival carriers and take revival into the future. Hallelujah. You getting this? You following? Hallelujah. Now, I want to share this too. When, because I realise that there's people at different levels here. When you have been walking your dream for a while, and when God first gave you a new assignment, a new thing to do, and you just had that excitement, wow, this is fresh, this is anointed, this is exciting. But you do it for a while, and then the mundane, the boring starts to set in again. That's a sign, okay? Remember I said boring is a sign? That you have to, that he's probably wanting to take you to the next level because he's always saying there's more. Because the whole point of his dream for us is that we are going to expand our borders. It's what Isaiah 54 says. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out. Extend. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. And your children shall inherit the nations. God's plan is always that we move out, we extend, and we take more territory for him. Hallelujah. Now I want to tell you, talk about something else that's been happening at the moment too, so that you can understand the power of a dream. I didn't want to have to share this, but I feel I do because it's all in the news. I'm not focusing on what the enemy's doing, but I want you to see something, a principle here. We are seeing the Islamic terrorists in the Middle East expanding territory at the moment, right? In the most brutal fashion, with absolutely no regard for life, decapitating people, and they're increasing territory. Now, we can have all the heads of governments around the world and all come in and they can go and bomb those installations to smithereens and they can go and cut off their supply lines. But you know what? I want to tell you something. They're not going to be very successful. Do you know why? Because they have a dream. Those Muslim extremists have a dream and their dream is to dominate the world. This is how powerful a dream can be. So we can maybe, overcome and get victory in some parts of the Middle East. But you know what's going to happen? It's going to spawn other terror groups with the same ideology, with the same push, because they're going to pop up everywhere because their aim is world domination. That is their dream. People, we've got to get God's dreams happening here. Because if the church does not have, if his people are not moving and, whoa, if we're not moving and expanding territory and doing what he's called us to do, it's going to be like a takeover in many places. Those things are just going to take over, and even many other Muslims who are peace-loving, you know, Muslims that aren't jihadists and aren't these extreme variety, even a lot of those are going to be victims, just as they are in the Middle East right now. you know, convert and be one of us, or even you will die. So they have no mercy, but they have a dream. And our dreams are so powerful. I just need for us to understand that today. So then, let me just finish here. I thought, Lord, why now? Why did you want me to share this message now? And for a long time, he's been impressing upon me. Some of you here may not understand this. I was one of those years ago. He's been impressing upon me that we have to get on God's timetable and on God's calendar. And you know what God's calendar is? It's the Hebrew calendar. We have January the 1st to December the 31st, right? But the calendar that God goes by, the seasons that God goes by, all the things that are happening in the earth happen in the days and the seasons according to the Jewish calendar. And we have just entered a Jewish New Year. And that New Year, get this, imagine it, see it, is 5775. Very interesting numbers. Now, I've read a lot about it, but when I first saw those numbers, something just stood out to me that the Lord was showing me. Five is generally recognized as the number of grace. Seven is perfection. And I was seeing two sevens in the middle. The Lord showed me that those sevens were double doors. And the five on each side was grace. They were the doorposts. Double grace. Perfect timing, double doors. So what is this saying? In this next year, this next Jewish year, is a sabbatical year. That means every 7 years. It's a year where everything from your past, all your debts, all your is released. It's a year of release. And so God was showing, you know, doors are very important because a door is like an opportunity. We know that. It gives you access into something new. It speaks of transition. But when you get double doors, just think in the natural for a minute. You walk through a door. Okay, now you walk through a double door. What's different? It's really easy to walk through. It's easy to walk through. And this is what God is saying to us. You get your dream. This year, you are going to find you can walk with ease into the new season. It's double doors. And the sevens are his perfect timing. We need to get a hold of this time that he has given us and walk through those double doors. And he's going to give us grace, double grace, grace, grace. Hallelujah. That's it. The Lord says, that's the Lord saying, you're going to walk with ease. You're going to hold up those dreams that I've given you. You're going to begin to run with them. You're going to begin to do exploits. Some have had dreams of doing miracles. You're going to start to do those things, says the Lord. You're going to move in miracles. As people want to start ministries. There's people here that want to start churches and start home meetings. There's people here who are called to the nations. There's some people here who are called right now to go to one nation. And God's going to show you what that nation is. It's the time the doors are open. It's a time where you do not have to beat on doors and push. The Lord says, I know, I have seen how you have struggled and how you have strived and how you have pushed and you have tried to make a small ground. But he wants you to know that in this next sabbatical year, he's breaking things off your life. All those things that have held you back, those dreams are coming up. Hallelujah. So I just want us to finish off here. I'm just going to pray. Is that okay? So maybe you could put your hands up if you just as a sign that you're agreeing with me. Or stand if you like. Lord, stretch forth your hand. Lord, we ask that you would stretch forth your hand in this place today. That you would draw. Stretch forth your hand, O God, and draw those dreams out of your people. Draw them out, Lord. Father, we just thank you, God, that you are releasing people from things that have been holding them back, releasing them from all bondages and restrictions. I put out a decree that dreams are being released in this place today, that every dream that has been hidden and covered over, every dream that has been mocked and spat upon, every dream that has been neglected, Father, we repent of neglecting the dreams that you have given us. I decree, God, that you will reach in and pull those dreams out that are hidden down in the cracks of every heart. They didn't even know where they were. Lord, that you're going to bring joy, you're going to bring fulfillment, you're going to bring satisfaction. Father, thank you for releasing dreams today. Lord, that they're going to pop up in their mind, that they're going to come up in their night dreams. They're going to start daydreaming about them. Lord, they're not going to despise them. Father, I thank you, God, that I just see right now it's like a child holding a handful of balloons on strings. And you know, can you just see that child just running in a field of flowers holding these balloons? And it's just got so much joy and it's got so much freedom and it's just letting those balloons go. Lord, we just let the balloons go today. We just let those things go. We let them go. Father, we want to run. We want to dance. We want to be free to run. You know that dance song? Free to run, free to dance, free to sing. Lord, I'm free. Let's just say that. Lord, I'm free. I don't want my will and emotions to block me anymore. I want to be free to dance, free to run with you, Lord, wherever you take me. Thank you, Lord. Free from all bondages and restrictions. I just let those balloons go. Lord, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for their dreams coming up today, being released. Even as I speak right now, I sense that that's happening, that some people are getting freedom. Hallelujah. 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 If you want to come up the front, just as between you and God, if you just want to come up the front and, just do business with God. God may just come along and just intercede for you, but very happy to just release and impart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.